This program is not being used to make diagnosis, administer treatment, prescribe medication, or order tests. The information contained in this program is provided as an educational service. This program is not a replacement for the relationship you have with your healthcare provider. If you have concerns about your health, please contact your healthcare provider immediately.
Hello, I'm Dr. Courtney Shelton, and I'm a board-certified internist and primary care physician. I am the medical director and owner of Shelton Hospitalist Group. Welcome to The Checkup, a new health program on WCLK. I'll discuss important health issues facing all of us using my own experience and that of my guests to give you knowledge you can use to lead a healthier and happier life. Today, my guest is Dr. Teresa Jacobs. How are you doing today, Teresa?
Doing real good, Dr. Shelton.
Good, good. We've all heard the phrase, an ounce of prevention makes a pound of cure. Very important. Do you realize in America, we spend nearly $3 trillion a year on health care and have a shorter life expectancy and a higher infant mortality rate and that of diabetes than all of our global peers? What's amazing is a healthier population leads to a less sick days at work. And when you add that all up, the annual cost of loss of work days due to illness and absenteeism is almost $84 billion in the year 2013, according to the Gallup HealthWays Well-Being Index. Today, on The Checkup with Dr. Courtney Shelton, MD, we will discuss the power of preventive health care. And today, my guest is Dr. Jacobs. Dr. Jacobs, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I am a board-certified family medicine doc. I practice for one of the local federally qualified community health centers. I'm also the chair for all of the clinicians that work for community health centers throughout the state of Georgia. So we see insured and uninsured patients every single day, so it doesn't matter whether you have insurance or not. We see those that are uninsured on a sliding scale that goes according to their income. We do a lot of chronic illnesses. We do pediatric. We also have OBGYN. A lot of our sites also have behavioral health or mental health as well, dental services in most of our sites throughout Georgia as well. So prevention is something that we definitely believe in.
You do prevention and cover all aspects of primary care.
Absolutely.
Throughout our medical training, you know, the emphasis is often placed on diagnosis and the treatment of diseases. And so much less of the emphasis is put on prevention, you know, and nutrition. Can you define prevention and wellness as it relates to primary care?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that prevention, those are the diseases that you want to stop from occurring in someone's body. And most patients, when they come to us, we talk about those things that would help patients prevent those diseases. Frequently, it's diet and exercising that would help a patient from preventing. Now, the other thing we do, too, is screening, meaning that we look to see, look for early detection of certain diseases. And there are many illnesses, like certain cancers, that if you catch early enough, they're about 100% curable in many instances. So that's why it's very important for prevention and screening as well.
Yeah, it's amazing when you can get your patients to buy into prevention mm-hmm. and wellness, because it really makes a difference. It's amazing. When you look at women, I always think of breast cancer as a great example. Breast cancer gets sure. so much attention, and rightfully so. 1 in 7 women will develop breast cancer in their life, and, you know, therefore we screen with annual mammograms. Mm-hmm. Can you give us some examples of some other screening tests for cancers? And how often should our patients get screening?
Well, you know, I want to add on to that breast cancer as well. There's no woman in the state of Georgia over the age of 40 that should not get their mammograms, because Georgia is one of those fortunate states that have grants for women starting at age 40 to actually get a free mammogram. So whether you're insured or not insured, there are places that you can go throughout the state of Georgia to actually get a free mammogram. So I just want to put that plug in. You got the Susan G. Komen program, and you also have the breast and cervical cancer program that are sponsored by CDC and the American Cancer Society. You can actually get free mammograms, and women starting at the age of 50 can get a free pap smear as well. So I want to put that information out so they can go to CDC's website, they can go to Susan G. Komen's website to get that information. Now, other cancers, prostate cancer, there is an alarming rate, especially for in certain populations of men that die of prostate cancer. And that's another one of those cancers that men do not have to die from.
Right.
If you start getting your, even if you don't want that prostate exam, and I know that's a deterrent for a lot of men, at least get the blood test done. At least get the blood test done.
I have to beg men to get that exam. It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And I tell men that, you know, is that rectal exam is nowhere near as uncomfortable as radiation or chemotherapy.
That's
right. It just isn't.
That's right.
And it will put years onto your life if they can catch it early enough. So far too many men die from prostate cancer. So that's one of those big ones. And if we're talking about other cancers, I'd like to put it a plug in for colorectal cancer screening as well. There are a number of grants that are available that even if you can't get the colonoscopy from a gastroenterologist or a GI doc, you can actually get those little cards. We call them little fit cards, where you can take those three cards home, do a stool test, bring them back into your doctor's office, and most time you can get those for under $20. So it's another cancer that can either be detected early or prevented if you do the diet and exercising and all the good things that they tell us to do.
And also, with if you can pick up colon cancer and it's just in your rectum,
excellent.
Surgery is curative, and you may not even need any chemo or radiation. So it's so important to just to reemphasize it, just to pick this up early. Screening is so important. And one of the challenges, and I'm wondering how you handle this. A lot of times, you may set a patient up for the screening test, and they don't go. And that's always so frustrating. And 5 years later, they come back and they may have an abnormal pap smear or an abnormal colonoscopy.
Oh,
how do we handle that?
Yeah, it's tough. Frequently, if I can get the family involved, you'd be surprised at what that wife or what that husband or what that daughter can do, the power that they have. I've even had people to bring their spiritual leaders in with them, their pastors with them as well. But if you can get that community, somebody that is with that person and really cares and love for them involved in that care, they will frequently make the appointment for you, and they will transport that patient to those visits. So if you can get other folks involved, that's always really, really good. We've actually gone so far as to do phone calls to the home, and I've actually done home visits, believe it or not, sat on folks' porches and say, come on.
It's, it's time to go.
Yeah, it's time to do it.
That's,
I mean,
right.
Even something simple like flu shots. I had a waiting room full of geriatric patients. I sat out there, got my flu shot, and once they saw me get my flu shot, they all got their flu shot.
Wow, that's powerful.
So, yeah, so if you just have to get involved, and if you can get family members or part of that community involved, it helps tremendously.
That's awesome. That's awesome. When you're thinking of those different type of screening procedures that you mentioned, the mammogram, colonoscopy, when should we start and how often should we get some of those screening tests?
Well, the colonoscopy, 50 is the suggested age, unless you have a family history of colorectal cancer, but 50 is generally the age we should start screening for colon cancer. Now, prostate cancer, I'm a little different because I am men of color, because they have an increased incident, unfortunately, of prostate cancer. I like to catch it early, so I start in their 40s talking about it, and maybe not the digital rectal exam, but we will definitely get a PSA at least starting about the age of 45. And again, I'm a little different there as well, because I have some urologist friends who prefer, if that PSA is over 2 as opposed to 4, to send them so that they can start talking to them and getting accustomed or acclimated and going to that urologist's office. So 40s for those of color or those that have a significant first-degree family with a positive PSA or have a history of prostate cancer. Now, breast cancer, that's been in the news. Some of the agencies that dictate how often you get those mammograms have kind of changed what they do or what they suggest. And then instead of at 40, they're suggesting at a later age. But I will have that conversation at 40 with all my women. And if I suspect or believe that they need the mammogram, I will go ahead and order it, especially in the state of Georgia, since there are so many grants that will pay for it, even if their insurance That's company right. won't pay for it. So I'll do that. Paps, you know, we used to do those when women became sexually active at 15, 16, 17, but that has all changed because those cancers are so slow growing. We don't start now until about the age of 20, 21 to actually do those Paps. And then we don't do those every year right. like we used to, unless they have a positive history of an abnormal Pap or they have multiple sex partners.
And that's I always use the Pap smear as an example of where prevention really works.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it's the best story of all the things that we do, because if you pick up an abnormal Pap, sometimes you just leave it alone. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can freeze it,
yep.
and it will return to normal, and then it decreases the whole risk of cancer. And I remember when we did them every year, or when you had your first sexual partner, and it's almost amazing to see how that's changed every 3 years, mm-hmm. but it's good. You know?
It is.
Because it's not always fun for the patient, but nevertheless, a very important procedure.
Uh-huh. Very important. And let me add to that, here's a little shameful plug for vaccines. Gardasil or HPV, it is the first vaccine that looks like it's going to prevent cervical cancer. So why wouldn't you want your teenage son or daughter to get that to prevent them from developing cervical cancer later on in life,
Agreed.
Or the young lady from getting cervical cancer? So it's a vaccine that we really, really start at the age of 9, that those young ladies should get that series of 3 Gardasil vaccines. So parents, starting early, there's a cancer that we can actually stamp out starting with this generation that's coming up now.
That's amazing. When you think of your primary care practice and the impact of heart disease, which is the number one killer all over the world, mm-hmm. What are the risk factors for heart disease and how do we screen for them?
You know, this is one of my, just as a personal story, my mom died at 49 of a massive heart attack. When they did the autopsy, arteries were just clogged up. And she had a history of hypertension, but she never got the education that she needed all those years ago. They didn't even, when she had a fainting episode several days before the heart attack, she went to the hospital, they didn't do a cardiac cath.
Wow.
So right. Wow. So heart disease is one of those things that are near and dear to me. And so this is one of those things. I treat everybody like they're related to me when they come into the office.
That's right.
Obesity is just one of the number one things that we have to talk about, because it's the number one thing that we really do have control over.
That's right.
Diet, exercising, I tell my patients that it works better than any pill I can prescribe to you.
That's right.
If I can get you out there moving, legs moving.
Right.
I'm not asking you to run a marathon. You can sit in a chair and do chair aerobics. You can lay in the bed, do bed aerobics. You can sit on the floor and do floor aerobics. But you got to start moving some way, somehow, to burn those calories and help get that weight off. So
there's no side effects.
Yeah, absolutely.
And no side effects.
And it's free.
And free.
And it's free. Because you can, I walk around in my house. I run in place in front of the TV. So there are ways that you can do exercise. And even if you have a bad back, bad knees, it's free. And like you just said, there are no side effects. So we got obesity, which is the number one thing you can absolutely have control over. Tobacco, smoking, again,
it's a big thing
because we got some millennials that are coming up that are smoking a little bit of everything, unfortunately.
That's right.
And what I tell them all, that your lungs were not built to house any kind of smoke.
That's a good point.
Your lungs were not made. That's why you cough.
Right.
when you first hit whatever it is that you're hitting, whether it be a cigarette or whatever, your lungs were not meant. They were not designed to house any kind of smoke.
That's right.
So will there be some sort of effect on you later on in life? Absolutely. I tell all my patients, I can't say who's going to develop lung cancer. I can't say who's going to have the respiratory issues. I can't say who's going to develop the cancers. But I can say if you smoke, you put yourself at an increased risk to develop those diseases or to develop those complications because you smoke. All right. So increased risk of strokes and heart attack as well. So diabetes, hypertension, we're talking about possible complications or things that will put you at an increased risk for heart disease. Diabetes, which type 2 diabetes is just rampant right now.
That's right.
I would think now, it used to be hypertension, probably about 60% of my adult population had hypertension. Now diabetes is quickly taking it over type 2. So, and the patients are getting younger and younger and younger. So,
and that's a very important point because I can remember in medical school where we learned diabetes type 2, children don't get diabetes type 2.
No, they don't.
And
right.
Now they do. Even my brother-in-law who had diabetes at 15.
Wow.
You know, so it affects our children. This whole obesity epidemic leads to diabetes and heart disease. So,
Absolutely. And, you know, I tell patients all the time that diabetes is a nasty disease. It's insidious. It slowly kills you. And so, but you have control if you take control.
That's right.
Otherwise, you allow this disease just to run rampant through your body. And again, it puts you at an increased risk for heart disease.
It's like cancer with no treatment.
There you go.
Slowly, slowly. And that's what I tell my patients that, hey, you know, you're pre-diabetic, so we can beat this.
Right.
But you are going to progress if you don't make any changes. And just to reemphasize your point, the treatment of all these diseases, as I listen to you, begins with lifestyle changes.
Absolutely.
And it's a sacrifice.
It is.
You got to make a sacrifice. I was telling a patient today, we are in the second half of life, and just like a basketball game, if we don't make adjustments at halftime, how do we win the game?
Right.
So
that's good.
You got to participate in your health care.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. So we're in total control, and it's up to us. And I tell patients as well, you know, I know many folks love fried, spicy, greasy foods. There's nothing like a good pork chop. But I'm in the South.
That might be my favorite.
And I tell patients, I don't tell them that to stop eating it.
Right.
But come on, you don't need
not
something.
Every Sunday.
Not, you don't need it every day.
Right.
You don't need it. You got to have fruits. You got to have vegetables. You have to drink water.
Right.
You just do. It's just part of a good, clean living. And that's how you gracefully age, by adjusting to what your body needs as you start to age.
That's a very good point.
Good, healthy diet. It may be something that you're so accustomed to eating those hot wings and the pizzas and all of that. Well, as we age, we have to do it gracefully, and we do it by listening to what our body tells us.
That's a very good point. Well, if you just joined us on the checkup, we are discussing the benefits of preventive health with Dr. Teresa Jacobs. Our seniors and our chronically ill, there's been study after study, they just benefit from annual immunizations with flu and pneumonia. But what do they always say? That flu shot makes me sick.
It does. They say that.
And I think I probably have 50% of my patients will take a flu shot. They will fight me over the flu shot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do we combat that?
You have to do it with education, and that's why when I got my flu shot last year, I did it in front of a group of elderly patients, because And once I did that, got my flu shot in front of them, they all said, well, if Dr. Jacobs will get it, then I'm going to get it. But it's just education, because it's a myth that because I get the flu shot, it's going to give me the flu.
That's
or you hear people say, oh, I almost died when I got that flu shot the last time.
All the time.
And I tell them, but do you know how many people actually die from complications of pneumonia, which, you know, started off as the flu? You could have prevented all of that had you gotten the flu in the first place. I mean, the vaccine in the first place. So education is the key. You just have to educate. And again, you know, if you can get those family members involved about getting those flu shots, I think that will help us in the long run as well.
When you think of all the major causes of death, heart disease, cancers, and COPD, it's big.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any screening for COPD? How do we approach that?
There's no real screening because they don't recommend, you know, x-rays of the chest if you have COPD. But, you know, when you screen, you're going to take a good history, find out if that person smokes. And something a lot of folks don't think about, is there somebody else that smokes in or around that person? Because secondhand smoke is just as bad as if the patient was smoking cigarettes themselves. And a lot of patients, I have to advise them, you know, even if they smoke outside, it's still in their clothes, it's in their hair, it's in the skin. I have patients that will walk into an exam room, and I can smell that somebody's been smoking. The scent is with them everywhere they go. I had, just to give you a short story real quick, I had a patient who never smoked, but her husband smoked for 30 years, secondhand smoke. She developed COPD as a result, and she died of lung cancer.
See, and that's sad.
It is sad, but he smoked a pack and a half. He smoked a pack and a half a day, and that was the only thing we could connect to the fact that she developed COPD because she had an adverse reaction to him smoking like that.
And it's amazing because the best way to prevent COPD or lung cancer or the cancers influenced by tobacco smoke is don't start.
There you go.
Don't start.
That's right.
And patients often feel very guilty about smoking. So sometimes but I just kind of gently remind them, you know, hey, you can't smoke, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what's amazing, too, is when they stop smoking, they're going to immediately feel better.
That's right.
And I think I read one time that it takes about 15 years of quitting smoking that will equate your, will just subtract your risk factors,
uh-huh,
let's say.
It'll right.
Make it like you'll be equivalent to somebody who never smoked at all.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing?
Amazing.
Just simply amazing.
Stop. Just don't do it.
Right. So screening is just asking the question every time they come in, do you smoke anything?
When our patients come for their annual wellness exam, sometimes they're focused on getting their pain pills or other things are going on. And it's often, even as a physician, it's often challenging to get that exam in. What should our patients expect when they come into, let's say, your office for our annual wellness exam?
Well, they should expect that I'm going to go over all their medications. We're going to go over their history. We're also going to go over what things they need at their age as far as prevention goes. Do they need a mammogram? Do they need a pap? Do they need me to send them to a foot doctor or an eye doctor? So, and any certain labs check? Do we need to check their kidney liver function? Do they need their cholesterol check? So, and that is age specific, as you know. So depending on the age of the patient, what chronic illnesses that they have, we will determine what they need during that visit. And it's automatic. Many things that we automatically have ordered already in the electronic health record according to the patient's age.
That's good. I think 60% of my patients are women, maybe 65.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get our men into the clinic for an annual wellness exam that will include a prostate exam?
Well, let me tell you what one community health center did. They did two events. They had an event outside of a Falcons football game. And they had their mobile unit set up, and they sent out invitations. And every man that came in to be screened or checked got 2 tickets to the Falcons football game.
Wow.
On that day. So that was a very successful event. The other thing they did, they had a blue suit, blue carpet walk for men. They told the women to invite their husbands and their significant others and their sons to walk the blue carpet. On that date, we had vendors set up. We had doctors on staff that did their exams. Those that needed Viagra, we were able to help them out with some samples.
That's the carrot that makes them move.
Right. But it was very successful. As a result of that, after that event, many of those men started coming in for regular visits. So you got to do, sometimes you have to do things outside the box to get them there.
That is awesome. Because I tell you, that man in the office is often only there for Viagra, and it's kind of that, oh, by the way, diagnosis. But, you know, programs like that, I can see how successful they would be. That is amazing. Dr. Jacobs, if our listeners wanted to get in contact with you and become a patient of yours, how can you be reached?
They can call Oakhurst Medical Centers. That's where I currently work as a staff provider, and their number is 404-298-8998. We have several offices in Fulton, DeKalb, and Rockdale County. So that's at Oakhurst Medical Centers.
Thank you so much for joining
us
today.
You're welcome.
All right. Thanks for joining us today for The Checkup. I'm Dr. Courtney Shelton. You can listen to this program on demand at WCLK.com. And I can be reached at the Shelton Hospitalist Group, located at 315 Boulevard Northeast in Atlanta, or by phone at 678-705-2355. Or you can like us on Facebook at Shelton Hospitalist Group, LLC. The Checkup is produced by Dr. Courtney Shelton, Janice Shelton, and Rob Maynard for WCLK. Thanks for listening.